From Relay FM, this is Upgrade episode 69. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the second annual Upgradees, our Upgradees for 2015. My name is Mike Hurley, and I am so excited today to be joined by Mr. Jason Snell. Oh, Jason, this is my most favorite episode of the year. Exactly. The Upgradees. Oh, they Hello. Said it wouldn't come back. But it's back.
they demanded that it not come back, but it did. It came back. And as I pointed out last year, it's not annual when it's the first time you do it. But now we're doing it again for a second straight year. This does officially make it the second annual Upgradees. It's very exciting.
So Mike was right when he said it was the first annual. I'm just to say that if you now look at it in history, it was the first of the annual awards, and this is now the second. So we have a selection of categories. What we decided to do, we are going to pick up, I believe, all of the categories from last year.
Yeah.
And we've added a couple of extra categories. In 10 years' time, this is going to last for 4 hours.
Yes.
Over the years, the snowball of the Upgradees continues to grow.
That's how the Eddie Awards worked, is that I would always just copy the document from the previous year and start with the categories from the previous year. And then we would rejigger them and move them and change them because they weren't fixed like the Academy Awards or something. And I expect that we'll do that as this goes on to make more changes. And if we're lucky enough to come back for a third annual Upgradees next year, that, you know, we'll keep some and move some and based on what happens in the year.
So we have a couple of interesting additions as well for the Upgradees this time around. One of the things that we were doing when we were looking at the award categories is we were recognizing that me and Jason may have some complete, like, same answers from last year to this year. So we have asked for the help of a few of our Relay FM hosts.
Yes. So we got 8 different hosts to weigh in on various subjects. And once we reveal our selections, or do you want to do those? Well, yeah, I think after we reveal our selections, we'll also mention some other things that are voted on by hosts. And it's not like we're counting the votes or anything like that, but I think it's interesting to see the opinions of other Relay hosts. So we brought them in. So you'll get some additional thoughts from Relay hosts. I also want to mention, since you did, Mike was right there a moment ago, that we did get a note from listener Carl, who suggested a category that was Jason's best disapproving to one of Mike's opinions.
That happens a lot.
Mike was right. All right. Anyway, that's a little special category.
In regards to the suggestions from our friends and fellow hosts, the Upgradees is not a democratic affair.
Yes. Oh, no. No, it's a dictatorship, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Completely by me and you. So there are some categories where some people have made suggestions and votes, but it might not. And even if everybody else voted for one app, it doesn't mean it's going to win. So with that, I think that we should start off today's Upgradee Awards with the best iOS app in 2015. Jason, so we go in the order of the document that we have here. I'm going to go first.
All right.
And I'm going to say Slack. Now, I actually don't think that their iOS app is the best iOS app that I've used, but it's the service that is underneath all of it that has made it a favorite for me.
Yeah, I agree. Slack has become indispensable for me this year as well. I think the iOS app is pretty good.
Yeah.
The Mac app is the contrast there, where it's sort of their standard web interface wrapped in a stuck inside a Mac app, and it could be way better. The iOS app is okay, and it's got some nice features. The thing that I discovered that I hadn't even realized was a feature until a few weeks ago is the 3-finger swipe to move between different groups. Which is huge because I have multiple Slack instances, and I love that. That's a great one because that saves you from like tapping to bring up a thing that then you have to tap on a thing and then it slide and then tap again to make it slide away, and now you just do a 3-finger swipe and it moves to the next thing. But you know, but it is the service embedded inside it is pretty great.
Yeah. So the thing for Slack with me is not only is it an incredible business tool, it's just become a tool that has actually made my life better because I have access to talk to my friends in a group very often, and also in a way that this is something that Casey's spoken about a bunch of times, like the pyramid of communication. And Slack kind of fits in this in an interesting way that I might not send you iMessages very frequently. Like, I just wouldn't do that.
Right.
But I'm more than happy to just spam you with direct messages in Slack because it feels kind of different. You can set it up in your own way to for your notifications to come through to you in your own way. And I just really like it for that. It's bringing me closer to people I care about and also has just become a great way for me to do business. Jason is now spamming me with iMessages as we talk, yep. So mm-hmm. we've got that going on. When was the last iMessage that we'd sent to each other before this? This will prove that May. Which was just me and you sending emoticons from our Apple Watches.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing. So that shows, right. Just, and me and Jay, we talk maybe every day, and it's all through Slack. So yep. Slack for me is my favorite iOS app of the year, and both David Sparks and John Siracusa agree with me.
Yeah. I think my hesitation was exactly what we've talked about, which is a lot of it is embedded in the service, and we didn't have a new best services category here, it's one of the apps I use the most on iOS. So even though the app could be better, it's still one I use all the time. And like I said, I think it's got a lot of things going for it that the Mac app doesn't, but it also still has bugs, and I would like it to be better because now I rely on it so much that it should be better. My choice is will probably be controversial. It has been the whipping boy of Mac pundits for many, many years, but it had a huge upgrade this year. And yeah, it's from Apple, but I used it before and I use it even more now, and it's Notes.app.
This was my runner-up.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that.
I love Notes. I mean, I use it for everything. It really is. I mean, I'm stealing your pick here, but one of my favorite things that Notes does is the ability to add links and things like that via the extension. So, like, I have a note that I keep, like a running note for follow-up for all of the shows. And I just, someone sends me a tweet or I see a link and I just hit the extension and put it in the upgrade follow-up note. And then I triage those notes before each show and put them into our Google Doc. It is really fantastic. And the app does work really well. It has some foibles. One that I've noticed recently, Jason, is that when you're using a list with a keyboard on the iPad or something and you hit the tab button, it doesn't indent the bullets, which is an endless source of frustration for me. But overall, I really love it, and maybe you should now say what you do rather than just me.
Well, it's so they added iCloud syncing, which again, it's hard to, with the Eddie Awards, we always used to say it's hard to reward an app for finally getting a feature it should have had many years ago. But it does really improve the situation that it's got iCloud syncing now and isn't just using weird IMAP syncing. But it's got all these features. Apple finally took it seriously. I think this is the year. I've said this before. Apple looked at this app and very much like photography, like selfie cameras or photography on the iPad, said, oh, people really use that thing? I guess we better make it better then, right? Because people use Notes anyway. And finally, Apple seems to say, well, we should prioritize that app since people use it. It's not that great. Let's make it better. And they made it a lot better. It's great on the iPad Pro as a drawing app. There are fancy drawing apps that you can get, but you could draw whether writing a note and sending it via iMessage, like we talked about last week, or whether you're drawing a sketch or something, you can have all that in Notes too. I mean, it's not going to do the fancy things that other apps will do, whether it's note-taking apps or drawing apps, but you can do a surprising amount of stuff just within Notes.app on that count too. So, I use it as my primary place where I jot things down now on Mac and iOS. Notes to myself, lists. If I'm watching a movie or a TV show for an incomparable episode, it goes in Notes. I think it deserves some praise for being more indispensable than it used to be because Apple paid attention to it.
Yeah, when you told me that you used Notes before the update, I laughed at you, I think. The first time, as I'm sure that many people did, but I don't think many people would laugh some more.
Who's laughing now, Hurley? Who's laughing now?
I'll still laugh that you used it then because it sucked, but now it's way better. It is a great app.
It sucked, but was everywhere. That was the thing. It was everywhere. I have a runner-up, too. Can I throw out my runner-up?
Yeah, do that.
It's Outlook. My runner-up is Outlook. I haven't been using it long enough to give it an award, but Microsoft Outlook, which is a name that has symbolized really crappy software for Mac and Apple users for years now, or incompatible software in some cases. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got a Mac? Well, we have an we're using Outlook here. I guess you can use Entourage and it's not very good. And Outlook for iOS is great. We've talked about it before. It's great. It's a really good app. It's a great iOS app. It is what I'm using for my mail on iOS right now, and I'm liking it a lot. A very thoughtfully built app. So I want to throw a shout out to that as a runner up.
I agree with that. Looking at our suggestions here, that we have three suggestions for Tweetbot 4 from Stephen, Casey, and Matt. Aline has suggested Procreate. Brianna has suggested Graphic by Autodesk. And Federico suggested To-Do, which was his app of the year that he spoke about on Mac Stories. My feeling on looking at this and hearing us talk is I think Slack should take this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so we're going to give it to Slack. I think Slack, in my opinion, has to win something. That's my feeling about looking at this right now is Slack should win something. And so I think that the best iOS app of the year will go to Slack. So congratulations to Slack.
I think it's an honor to be your pick or my pick, but in the end, we do this as part of the upgradees process, is that we then have to choose the definitive upgradee winner. And it makes us all better people.
Sure does.
So...
Best newcomer iOS app is our next category. So it's not, we were also thinking, and we did this last time, is something that we use on our iPhones or iOS, on our iPads, we could be using them for a long time. So which is, look at Slack. Slack has been around for longer than this year. But the newcomer iOS app is something that has come into our lives this year. Now, for me, mine is a very new app, but it's easily become one of my favorite apps, and that is Pigment, which is the iOS coloring application iPad. It's mainly for iPad, I think, and mainly for iPad Pro, but it is on iPhones as well. And the reason is because they've integrated the Pencil so well. So I have spent upwards of 10 hours, maybe more, in Pigment now. I absolutely love this application. I am a fan of coloring in, grown-up coloring, and Pigment is the exact app I was looking for from the moment I got the Apple Pencil. I wanted a good coloring app. And this has definitely been the one, and it's got some stuff that it needs to work on. But I've spoken to the developers, and they're looking at fixing everything. But the things that it needs to fix are very small. There's no real bugs in the app. There's just some things that they can maybe do better. And this is easily the best of these types of apps that I've found.
Hmm. That sounds cool. I'll download that and check it out. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It really is.
My choice is Ferrite from Wooji Juice. I've written about it. It is a multi-track audio editor with a beautiful user interface. There are other multi-track audio editors for iOS. They feel very much like desktop apps ported. The interfaces certainly feel that way. Like it really wants to have all the complexity of a weird, wonky desktop audio app. And Ferrite feels a little bit like Logic, actually, Logic 10. And it's, but it's very tactile, from just cutting tracks and sliding them around and moving the edges of tracks and all that. And I've edited multiple podcasts with it. Works great on iPad Pro, but it works on iPad Air. It works on an iPhone. And it is the first multi-track audio tool that I could endorse and say this, you could use this to edit podcasts on iOS, and it just has impressed the heck out of me. So I have to say, as a newcomer, that's the one that did it for me.
Yeah, I've looked at Ferrite. I haven't used it in any real depth yet, but I've downloaded it and I've played around with it, and I plan to do more with it. But I've said this before. It's nothing against the application. I'm just a little bit hesitant of doing my work on it, but I know that you've edited a couple of episodes of The Incomparable with it, and you'd never know. So it is clearly doing the job.
And the developer has added some features. It now will do a lossless export, so you can get out a lossless file and then encode it using something else and upload it using something else, depending on how you do it. But I definitely did the entire, not the recording part, but the rest of the production of an episode where I was traveling and didn't even have a laptop, and I did use the iPad Pro, and it worked great. And I'd say it's great for circumstances where you don't want to be sitting down at your editing thing, whether you can't or whether you just don't feel like it. I mean, you could sit in front of a fireplace somewhere and edit a podcast if you wanted to. And that's a pretty great feeling. I mean, you could do that on a laptop too, but there is something fun about having that big, part of it is, I keep saying tactile, part of it is that experience of just having the big screen in your lap, and everything that's happening is happening via touch instead of, clicking and typing and things like that. It's just impressive that they did it, and that the metaphor works with touch in a way that no other app of this type has ever done that I've tried on iOS. That they really get the look and feel and understand that it's built for touch from the beginning.
Going out to our panel, Aline suggested You Must Build a Boat, which is a game that I've yet to check out, but it is
a puzzle.
Puzzle game, puzzle there game. We go. Both Stephen and Federico have suggested Copied. And Copied is my understanding. I've not used this, but I've seen people talk about it a lot. It's basically kind of like a Pastebot type app. It is on iOS and on the Mac, and you can share your clipboard between them. Casey has suggested Carrot Weather, which is easily one of my favorite Apple Watch complications, which is not a category that we included, I just realized.
Yeah.
But I'll make a special note for there. The Carrot Weather complication is my favorite complication. Matt suggested To Do, which was what Federico thought was his app of the year. And David Sparks, being David Sparks, suggested Dragon Anywhere with the note expensive but killer dictation. So I, looking at this, it's not helped our decision at all. We have lots of different options here, and I feel very strongly about Pigment, and you feel very strongly about Ferrite, so I'm not sure where we go with this.
I don't know either.
I think I might cede to you on this one, purely because whilst I love Pigment, Ferrite is clearly a bigger undertaking, and a lot more has gone into that application. And if it is able to produce professional podcasts at its current stage, I think that has to be something that wins.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. That you're acceding to my wishes, so I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to and hoping that we'll get perhaps with iOS 10 some more features that enable more audio stuff to happen on iOS that isn't currently possible. I would love to have that, the ability to have more, basically so that we could also do the recording of conversations across, basically IP chat conversations like the one we're having now, and being able to record those on iOS would be the last step for people to just use iOS and be a podcaster, which, it's a niche area. We're podcasters. 100% of the people on this podcast are podcasters, but there aren't a huge amount. It's a growing area, but there aren't a huge amount. But still, it's like one of those little professional things. It's like, yeah, the right features, and people can do professional work on the iPad Pro, and I think that would be a good thing. So here's to 2016 for more.
So this brings us on to the best Mac app of the year. I think this was the one that I struggled both. We have a best Mac app and best newcomer Mac app straight after this, and I really struggled with this one. And you can see from our panel there were far fewer answers on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I went with 1Password just because it's an app that I love, and it's fantastic on the Mac. And again, it's like another one of those. It's a service for me, and 1Password is an indispensable service, and it's one that I love dearly. But I don't think I have to say too much about it. In all honesty, I think everybody knows about 1Password by now, and I really like your pick.
Yeah, I had this was really hard for me too, because there are a lot of Mac apps I like, and it was very hard for me to pick just one and say this is the one that I want. And some of our picks, Matt Alexander picked Fantastical 2, which I really like, and that's actually a new app this year.
Mm-hmm.
The new version, and I use that every day. I use I wrote about Trip Mode, which is a utility that will protect your tethering so that your Mac doesn't totally take it over and swamp your data allowance. There are a lot of different apps I could pick here. In the end, though, because I was having trouble picking, I just decided, and again, my apologies to everybody out there who is tired of me talking about podcasts inside baseball, but I do a lot of podcasting. I do a lot of audio work. That is one of the main things that I do in my job these days. And I live in Logic Pro 10. And you know what? I love it. It has made me so much more. I'll put it this way. Back when I was doing things in GarageBand, I was barely capable of generating a podcast a week. And I edit myself for at least podcasts a week at this point. And it could not happen. Last week I did hour and a half long podcast, three of them in a row on successive days. There's no way I could have been able to do anything like that if I didn't use Logic. And you know, some of that is credit to the features of Logic and what I need to do with it, which is edit things quickly. It's from Apple. It's a pro app. It's fashionable to bash Apple's pro apps because it's unclear what their pro app strategy is. All I know is I use Logic Pro 10 every day and I like it. And it would be very difficult. I've written about this. It would be very difficult for me to switch to something else like Adobe Audition, mostly because I would have to the savings in productivity would have to be spectacular. And I have a hard time believing that that would be possible.
So I like Logic. It drives me mad, kind of to the same level that I like it. And also for me, there are things that I need to do with audio that I can't do with Logic or are too difficult for me to understand how to do with Logic. So Logic really works for me in conjunction with other apps. You mentioned Adobe Audition. Adobe Audition is incredibly powerful, and some of the noise removal stuff that it can do is just stupendous. And if you are someone who's looking for noise removal, you should check out Adobe Audition. It's worth the fee for me, like the monthly fee. I'm struggling with this one because obviously I use Logic as much as you do, and it is a very, very important application to me. I don't know if I feel strongly enough to really argue for 1Password as much as I like it, but you know, I kind of feel that Logic Pro is something that is indispensable for me. So in theory, does that make it the best Mac app? I love Fantastical too. And that's actually my my pick for my best newcomer Mac app, spoilers. So I'm willing to push that one over from Matt's pick and put that in, like, give that a check against Fantastical too. So again, I will allow you to run away with this one for Logic Pro 10.
All right, okay. I win. Woo.
Congratulations to Logic.
We should mention Aline Sims suggested Ulysses, which is a writing app. That's very nice. And Casey Liss suggested Day One.
But the winner is Logic Pro 10. So that brings us to the best newcomer Mac app. And for me, I will have to say Fantastical 2. I picked Fantastical, yep. I think, as my favorite Mac app last year. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time asking for it to have a full calendar view as well. I really wanted to be able to completely get rid of iCal from my system, or calendar, whatever it's called now. And so having the full calendar view of Fantastical 2 is a great mode to switch into. And their calendar sets function is fantastic because I can turn off and on the Relay FM live calendar so I don't have to see it if I don't want to see it, as well as some other calendars that I keep. Fantastical is an incredible application, and Fantastical 2 really pushed it forward and just made it even better.
I agree with you. I remember very clearly writing up my story about Fantastical 2, trying out the beta. It was while I was on my trip to the UK, actually. So it was right when I was seeing you. That's when it came out in the spring. My nomination is Audio Hijack 3 from Rogue Amoeba. So Audio Hijack's been around a long time. Audio Hijack 3 is a complete revamp, beautiful user interface. It works great. It is incredibly powerful, and there's room for it to grow. If you do anything with audio, and that's like capture application sounds or capture conversations, and I realize I keep picking these audio apps, but you know, I couldn't let it go. Audio Hijack is so versatile. It does so many different things in different scenarios. I keep hearing of different ways that people use it that I had to give it a shout out because it is it's just a very impressive update to an app that we just sort of took for granted. It was out there. It had been there forever. You know, it was never really going to change, and then it did change quite dramatically and for the better. We should also mention the other apps that were suggested for us.
Casey chose Visual Studio Code. Now, I believe this is a Microsoft thing. I remember them talking about this at the Windows 10 event, but this isn't something that I really know enough about.
Yeah, but it's a code editor that runs on the Mac for the first time, I think. And it was a big... Casey was impressed. He talked about it on ATP as well. Matt Alexander picked Tweetbot 2 and then put a question mark and an exclamation point in parentheses after it.
I assume that's him not knowing if it's version 2 or not. It's just the current one.
Or is he just questioning his own suggestion and then is surprised that he suggested it? I don't know. We don't know, Matt. And David Sparks said, controversial for some, but life-saving for our family photos. Photos.app, which I think is a good, you know, there's good and bad with Photos. I think the app itself is actually pretty great when you, there are some issues with the cloud photos feature that people have had. But the app itself is so much better than iPhoto that I think that that was a strong contender for me too. That they did a lot of great things with Photos that fixed a lot of the problems that iPhoto had. I'm going to give this one to you though, Mike. Fantastic Yes. Cal 2. I love it too.
It's excellent.
It's great.
It really is just a superb app, and it is. It's one of the only apps that I use that continues to on the Mac that continues to get a lot of new features and clearly a lot of love added to it. The Mac is funny, you know, looking at this, these categories, it was really hard to think of stuff. And I think that that is something, you know, this is something we've been talking about, other podcasts talking about it. The Mac is an interesting place for development right now. And clearly it was not, you know, it was not easy for anybody to think of their favorite iOS apps of the year.
Yeah. There's a lot of mature stuff out there. And so, some of this is, like, I didn't want to, I can say BB Edit is my best Mac app every year. I really could, but that gets boring. So, you know, try to spread it around a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot of mature software in this in on the Mac. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot less. I think it's exciting that that between Fantastical and Audio Hijack and something like Photos, right? And Visual Studio Code, these are actually, there are some interesting new things happening on the Mac, but not as much as there used to be, that's for sure. Not as much on iOS as on iOS.
So now we move into our gaming section, and we have the best game of the year. So this is across all platforms, consoles. It can be on iOS too.
We're the experts here.
Hey, I have a video game show.
Yeah, okay, fine.
My pick is an interesting one. It is a relatively small game on the PlayStation 4, and I mean small in size, not in audience. It's a game called Rocket League, and the reason I've picked Rocket League for my game of the year is it is the most fun I ever had playing any type of game this year. In Rocket League, you control a car that has boosting capabilities and the ability to jump, and you play soccer with the car. It is amazing. You can play online, you can play against the computer, you can play in teams of up to, I think, 4 or 6, and it gets crazy, and you can flip the car around to try and do incredible goals. You try and get some incredible goals with the cars. It is just so much fun. I was playing it a couple of days ago with my younger brother, and it was, we were just screaming for about 15 minutes. It was incredible fun. I absolutely love Rocket League. It is on the PlayStation. I believe it's coming to Xbox soon.
Mm-hmm. I'll check it out then.
And as Mrs. Soup has pointed out in the chat room, I called it soccer just because if I said football, I'd have to qualify it. So I went with soccer.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm going to pick Rocket League as my favorite game this year.
By the way, as a style note, you use the word soccer. People should use the word soccer if you're speaking to an international audience, because then everybody knows what it means.
That was why I went with it, even
and
though
if
it
you
upsets
say football,
me.
People don't know what that means, because Americans will think that you mean something else. So when you're speaking to an international audience, try to say American football or soccer.
I always make sure to say American football because it makes me smile.
Yeah, you should do it. That's how it is. That's our football. It belongs to us. That sounds fun. I hope it's coming to Xbox, because I would love to try it out. Oh, yeah, coming to Xbox One in February. All right.
Yeah, you should try it.
We'll check it out.
It's excellent.
So my game, I had a couple of games that I thought of long and hard about this, and I ended up with Splatoon, which is for Wii U. Yep. It is spectacularly good. Have you played it? Have we talked about this?
I own it. I have many things to say about it.
It is a shooter that is as nonviolent as a shooter essentially can be, because it's all with paint. The goal is to take over territory. It's all, or largely, there is a one-player scenario, but it's really about the online games. I find the online game matchmaking to be pretty good. My son loves it. A lot of my gaming experience these days is by watching my children play games, honestly, because they do it a lot more than I do. But this one, I like the style of it. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it. My biggest criticism of Splatoon is that it that the music, that there's not enough variation in the music, and then after somebody plays it for half an hour, that same, like,
the song is in my head right now. It's going around and around.
And it's cute, the style of it. It's like a reggae kind of style, reggae rock mix thing, but it's more varied music would be helpful.
Yeah.
But it's such a fun idea, and it's colorful, and I think it's a very fun, clever game. And my honorable mention is a game called Runbo, which was a downloadable for Wii U that we played at my son's birthday party, and you can get up to 9 players playing the game at once, and it's a side-scrolling platformer where as the colors change, the platforms appear and disappear, and it's a really nice $15, I think, downloadable that is great, especially as a party game, because we had, 9 boys playing it. It was pretty, pretty spectacular.
Brianna Wu has mentioned Rise of the Tomb Raider. Aline has gone for Splatoon. Matt went for Star Wars Battlefront, which is my favorite first-person shooter of the year. And of course, Syracusa picked Destiny, which I've just got. Sure. Destiny, and I've just started playing it. It's very confusing, but I'm trying to get the grips of it. Splatoon was my second. It was my runner-up. And the only reason that I did not give Splatoon my game of the year is the poor local multiplayer mode. I really wanted Splatoon to have a...
Is there a local multiplayer mode?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not the... It's like a different game. There's like a different mode that you play it in. You cannot play like team versus team, which is really upsetting to me because I love local multiplayer. And Splatoon let me down with its not so good local multiplayer mode.
Also, I'm disappointed, I have to say, with a lot of Wii U games, that they don't take better advantage of the second screen.
Yeah.
On the Wii gamepad, where you should be able to play a person versus person game where one person's on the TV and one person's on the gamepad, and they don't do that. Generally, they do occasionally, but a lot of times they just mirror the screens, and that's less good. But I hear you. The like I mentioned, there's a single player kind of campaign game that's fine, but it does feel a little obligatory. Like, well, we can't just sell, which I don't quite understand, because I mean they didn't have. Maybe it's just a Nintendo philosophy thing, because they didn't do that with Titanfall, right? Titanfall is a game where you need to play against other people, but with Splatoon, they put in this obligatory thing that my son zipped through in no time.
It's good enough.
He spends all his time playing.
It's a simple platformer game, the single player stuff, and it's good to it's a good way to kind of get to grips with the mechanics of the game.
Sure,
Splatoon is fantastic because it is a first person shooter without any death. I mean,
yes, exactly.
Who would have thought that could exist? You get splattered by paint. And it is just excellent. I love the game. I really like the music, but agree with you, it needs to be more varied. The customization of the characters is great. I love that, obviously, you can pick boy and girl. It's a really excellent game, and I am more than happy to give it our game of the year. Really hope that Splatoon 2 has some better local multiplayer options. But for me, Splatoon is easily our game of the year.
That's that sounds great. It's people should check it out. It is a lot of fun. I mean, you have to have a Wii U. This is the thing, this has come up before. I mean, you guys did an episode of your video game podcast that was really depressing about the Wii U. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like the Wii U, I don't regret buying it. And not just because unlike the other platforms that are PlayStation and Xbox are incompatible with previous versions, it's compatible with those old games. But also the Wii U titles that we've gotten, and it's not a lot, but they've been great. Like the software is really good, and Splatoon is a great example. That's just a great game, a lot of fun.
Problem with the Wii U is the majority of good games that you play are first party, which is not good for the life of a console.
Yeah, this is what I liked about Runbo, is that's an indie downloadable.
Yeah, there is some good indie stuff in there.
Yeah.
Our best iOS game this year is brought to you by Hover, the best way to buy and manage domain names. I love hover.com. If you have an idea for a project, you have something that you want to put on the web, you're going to need a domain name for it. Hover is the place that you should go to. They have all of the options you'd expect, .com, .co, .me. They have all of the crazy new TLDs as well. You just type in what you're looking for. If it's there, you can click through and you'll be able to buy it in seconds. If it's not available, they'll give you some options of other things that might be, maybe other TLDs or maybe some other names or phrases that you could use to get the domain to start your idea, business, website, whatever it may be. Hover have fantastic customer support. They have a no hold, no wait, no transfer telephone support policy, and they're famous for this, and there's a great reason why, because when you call Hover, you're talking to an actual human being, no robots or not at Hover. But if you do prefer to maybe look online, they have some great guides to help talk you through some stuff. And they have great email support as well. So you're still talking to the lovely humans over at Hover, but you can do it through the safety of your keyboard. Don't forget, Hover also have their valet service, where they will transfer all of your domains from your current provider to them. They have Hover Connect, where they make it super easy for you to get your new domain connected with your website or service that you want to connect it to in just a couple of clicks. No more copying and pasting all that DNS stuff to get it set up. If you go to hover.com, you want to try them out and use the code UPGRADIES, UPGRADIES, at checkout, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase at hover.com and show your support for this show and the UPGRADIES Awards. So thank you so much to Hover for their support of this episode. Best iOS game of the year, easy one for me, Alto's Adventure.
It is the best iOS game of the last 5 years, I would say.
So I expect that you've only put your pick in because I got to Alto's Adventure first.
No. Well, wait a second. So did Alto's Adventure? I thought it came out last year.
So did I. But I looked at the release notes, and version 1 was released very early in 2015.
Wow. Okay, well...
Yeah, this is the thing. I was very surprised when I went to take a look, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Version 1 was released on the 19th of February, 2015.
You know what? I think I might have played a beta of it. I think I'm thinking of, is that the beta was last year, but it wasn't out yet. Well, in that case, I'm going to just say Alto's Adventure. I agree with you. I had my runner-up is Pac-Man 256, which I think is great, and as a child of the 80s, let me say, I think it's the best Pac-Man game ever. Because I think Pac-Man games have not been that great ever.
I love Pac-Man 256. And it is fantastic.
It's everything I liked about playing Pac-Man without all the things that I hated about playing Pac-Man. So I think it's a really... and it works fairly well with the touch interface, which it doesn't have to. It's probably better with a physical device, but it works well with the touch interface. But I think Alto's Adventure is it. That is a fantastic game. I love it.
Matt Alexander, John Siracusa, and David Sparks all agree with us that Alto's Adventure should be the game of the year. Stephen Hackett chose Badlands 2, which I've heard great things about, especially on the Apple TV. Federico chose Oceanhorn, again, for its Apple TV support as well. Oceanhorn is a Zelda-like game, and it's available. It's a big Universal game now. Aline chose Kingdom Rush, and Brianna chose Star Wars Galaxies of Heroes, which I've not played, but Brianna really does like that game. But for me, Alto's Adventure is absolutely stupendous. It's one of the very small amount of games that has stayed on my phone this year. You know, I play lots of games on iOS, but when I'm done with them, I usually delete them. But there are a few that get upgraded to live in the folder of games that I keep on my phone. And I, after tvOS came out, I actually played, I've started over with Alto and played a bunch of it again. It is absolutely stupendous and is the easy winner for our best iOS game of 2015.
Yeah, I agree. By acclamation.
So now we move on to favorite movie of the year. This feels like a cop-out because of the movie that we've both chosen, but it is without a shadow of a doubt the best movie that I've seen this year, and that's Star Wars Force Awakens. We will not spend a lot of time talking about this, so there will be no spoilers. If you haven't yet and you've watched the movie, go back and listen to last week's episode of Upgrade, where we do a special mic at the movies talking about The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I wanted to. It's also my choice. What other movie have I seen three times in recent memory.
Yeah, I've seen it twice. Three times now. And I have one more ticket booked for New Year's Day.
You know, my family, I went to see it a second time by myself for the podcast. And then for the Incomparable episode that we did with John Siracusa and Dan Morin and Serenity Caldwell, which people should listen to. They can also listen to an entire episode of The Incomparable hosted by Anthony Johnson that's full of UK people and Dan Morin. There's an episode hosted by Aline Sims that's full of kind of West Coast people. And there is an episode, who hosted that one? Chip Sutterth hosted the one that's a bunch of East Coast people. So there are literally four episodes of The Incomparable about The Force Awakens. People should listen if they're excited about it. What else could I choose? My second place choice is going to be The Martian, which I really liked, and I recommend to people. Good book, good adaptation, heck of a lot of fun, looks great, beautiful, you know, and so, and Stephen Hackett and I talked about that in an episode of Liftoff, if people want to hear us talking about The Martian. And our panel of relay hosts was very much in line with us. Aline, Matt, and David all chose the Force Awakens. And Brianna also chose The Force Awakens. So Stephen Hackett, of course, he's not letting me down. He chose The Martian. That's a good one. Casey List chose Inside Out, which is an excellent choice as well.
Yep. I don't think Casey's seen Star Wars yet, but I did also really love Inside Out. And Federico, in a move that I cannot understand, I don't know if he's being serious, chose the Entourage movie. I think he really loved that movie. He really loved the TV show. But that's very interesting. He did see A New Hope for the first time this year.
Wow.
Like a couple of weeks ago, he watched A New Hope for the first time.
Well, you know, it's safe to watch the original Star Wars now. The yeah, well, we can't translate... Some things are lost in translation between Italy and the rest of the world, I guess. So, thanks, Federico. Force Awakens, by acclamation.
Now, this is one that just me and you voted on, which is our favorite Mike at the Movies, which was suggested to us by listener Zach. For me, it's Say Anything. But I just loved that movie. I loved it so, so much. Not even just to say this is a good Mike at the Movies pick. I was just absolutely taken aback by how much I loved that movie. And thinking back to it, I just want to go and watch it again. And I can't believe that I haven't already watched it like two times more. I really, really, really loved that movie.
Well, what I would say is I have really enjoyed Mike at the Movies this year. That's something that I can't believe it, but we didn't start doing that until this year.
Yep.
But we've watched a lot of fun movies. I'm looking forward to what movies come to us in 2016, whether we should stick with our existing sort of dive through the 80s or whether we should do something different. I don't know.
We still have 80s movies to go.
There are lots of 80s movies to go. So,
but
we
it
may
doesn't
stick
have
with
to
it.
Be a decade. It can be a complete new theme. We need to think about that. But yeah, Mike at the Movies is I'm really pleased that we started doing that on this show. And now it's kind of like grown and it's become its own little thing, which is awesome. I really love watching these movies and talking about them with my friends. And so I'm really pleased that we did this. Can we please give Say Anything? Have you even said what yours is yet?
I haven't.
Won't Say Anything to win.
No. So my favorite Mike at the Movies was probably Raiders of the Lost Ark, because that's a movie that I dearly love and I cannot believe that you hadn't seen. And it was really enjoyable to sort of walk through that film with somebody mm-hmm. who was seeing it with fresh eyes. And you were very excited about it, which was exciting. But
was
yes,
great.
This is your category. Of course, you get to choose the winner.
Yeah. Say Anything is the best Mike at the Movies of this year. Which brings us on to my favorite category for funny reasons, his favorite book.
Yes.
My answer is the only
book. We talked
book...
about this last year too, where you said I don't read any books, so I don't know. I don't have opinions about this.
The only book that I've read this year is Becoming Steve Jobs, so that is my de facto winner.
Oh, Mike.
It's the best book I've read this year because it's the
sure.
only
it's
book.
Also the worst book you read this year.
That's a good point.
Because
yes.
it's the only book you read this year. All right. I'm going to. My favorite book that I read this year is The Goblin Emperor by Catherine Addison, I think is the. It's not a real name, it's a pen name. But love that book. It's a great book. It's a fantasy book. It sounds more fantasy than it actually is. I talked about it at length on an Incomparable episode. I like it a lot, and it's the one that has stuck with me the longest I keep recommending it to people. Oh, sorry. Is that right? Well, Sarah Minette is the name. It's Catherine Addison's the pen name. Sarah Minette's the actual name. So Goblin Emperor, it's really a coming of age story about a young person who is who's smart but uneducated and has to learn a lot of things really quickly. There's some palace intrigue. There's a mysterious Zeppelin accident, which, you know, I love that stuff. But it is not a sort of swords and sorcery high fantasy kind of thing. It's actually a very different kind of book, but it does have fantasy trappings, and I liked it a lot. People should check it out. And my runner up is Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. We did an entire episode of The Incomparable, or half an episode about that, I think, of The Incomparable. I think we split it with something else. With The Peripheral and Slow Apocalypse. So it's a sort of, half an episode. Station 11 is a beautifully written book with a nice setting. I think there are a lot of great things about it. I think it's probably more acceptable for a mainstream audience than something like The Goblin Emperor. But it has a lot of problems if you are somebody who is well-versed in sci-fi or apocalypse end-of-the-world stories, because it's dumb about that stuff. Like, if you're looking for a, like, real depiction of what it would be like in an apocalypse, Station 11 is not going to help you, because that it's sort of not the point. And the details are kind of just taken off the shelf of generic apocalypse stories. It's all about the, these kind of interesting characters and interesting interactions, and it's kind of beautifully written, and it's nice, but there are lots of things about it that didn't sit well with me, whereas The Goblin Emperor has only increased in my esteem. So that's the book. You know, last year it was, I think, The Genie and the Golem, and this year The Goblin Emperor is the book that people say, what's a book I should read? Which does happen to me every now and then. It's kind of funny. And that's the book. That's my stock answer. I'm going to have to get a new stock answer next year, but right now my stock answer is The Goblin Emperor.
Brianna Wu suggested Fear the Sky. Aline Sims went with The Golem and the Genie. Casey Liss went with the Scott Harvath series by Brad Thor. And David Sparks chose the Expanse series, courtesy of The Incomparable. Jason, I'm going to give this series one to you. Which one would you like to go for? You want to go for The Goblin Emperor?
Yes, please. Go read The Goblin Emperor. It's good.
Brings on to our favorite gadget of the year. Now, this is favorite gadget could be anything at all. It doesn't have to be Apple. However, both of me and you, spoilers, have gone with an Apple product.
Well, we have a non-Apple gadget category, which made me kind of lean toward an Apple gadget for the favorite gadget category.
I went with the Apple Pencil, which is just flat out my favorite piece of technology this year. I love that thing. I use it all day. I use my iPad Pro a bunch. We'll talk about that in a bit, I think. But the Apple Pencil for me has just changed the way that I like to use iOS. Not only do I spend tons of time in pigment coloring, I use it just for general UI as well as taking notes. I use the Apple Pencil to navigate iOS. Like some people would say, a crazy person, but I absolutely love it. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think it's one of the most magical things that Apple have done this year. It really encapsulates a lot of what is great about Apple, even down to the way that you charge it, which frustrates and people that don't use it think is crazy. But people that do use it appreciate the fact that you're using the iPad. It tells you it's got 10% of battery. You just pop it in for 30 seconds and you've got a bunch of charge for another few hours. Like, that's the great thing about it, is you're able to charge it with the device that's in front of you rather than going to need to find a cable. I genuinely believe that's the reason they chose to do it this way, because when you actually use the product, that is the best way to charge it. So that is my feeling about the Apple Pencil.
And Aline Sims agreed with you, by the way.
Yep.
She's voting your way. So I thought about this category, and again, it's challenging because we've got the non-Apple gadget category that's coming, and the word gadget to me also implies something about a piece of technology that is kind of a fun idea and fun to play with and fun to have around. And so what I didn't do is say something like the iPad Pro, which I bought one. I do like it a lot. But is it a gadget? You could make the case, but that's not... I decided to define gadget a little bit differently, and that's why I chose the Apple Watch, because I wear my Apple Watch every day. And why do I wear it? Well, it tells the time. That's number one. It's got some notifications on it that I find that valuable. And it's fun. I find it a fun gadget. It's replaced my my alarm clock by my bed. I now just put it on a stand and it goes off and wakes me up in the morning. It is a gadget, and so I guess there's some implied impracticality there, and I'm okay with that because I still enjoy it. I have worn it every single day that I've had it, and it's still a lot of fun. I switch out the watch bands because it's fun, not because it's practical in any way, but because it's fun to have a different watch band. Sometimes I'm in the mood for an orange watch band now. I'm in the mood for the black leather watch band now, and it's fun. So I what could be more gadgety than that? And Brianna Wu in our panel also went with the Apple Watch, so she's with me. We each have one supporter on the panel.
Casey chose the Apple Lightning Digital AV adapter. Okay. Matt chose his iPhone 6S Plus. Matt is a Plus convert this year. David Sparks chose the DxO1.
Yeah, he had that at XOXO, and it was. I still have a couple pictures I took with it, and it's a pretty cool idea.
It's a little camera that you can attach via Lightning to your iPhone, and it's, you know, SLR. I think it's like an SLR quality lens, maybe.
Yeah.
And it really is absolutely stupendous, and it has some fantastic focusing. You can do all of that fancy blur stuff.
And very gadgety.
And it's very gadgety. And Federico chose the iPad Pro as his favorite gadget of the year.
Of course.
I really love my Apple Watch. It was beaten out by the Apple Pencil, but the Apple Watch has made a similar impact on my life. You know, it is a device that I love dearly. I use it every day. It is, again, you know, like many Apple things this year, it is not without its foibles, and it has some weird stuff about it. And it, you know, I don't use this device in the way that I think Apple would love me to use it, right? Like, I don't really use a lot of apps. I mainly use it as a thing that just gives me information rather than me going to find information.
You and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. but I am more than happy with it for doing just that. So I would love to give our gadget of the year to the Apple Watch.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It is a gadget. For all that comes with that, it is a gadget. It is a fun gadget, but it is definitely a gadget.
The best non-Apple gadget of the year, suggested by Justin last year and AJ this year.
Different listeners suggested it both years. I find that funny.
Mine is the Sphero BB-8.
Oh.
What a fantastic piece of technology this is.
We went and saw The Force Awakens, and I came home and went on Amazon just to see if they had BB-8s in stock, and they do. They were in short supply at the beginning, but then they made a lot of them, and so that was the last present opened at Christmas this year. And it is a spectacular little piece of technology. I mean, the Sphero was already around, and there are other gadgets like this, but the BB-8 is adorable and cute because of the Star Wars connection. But it's a great little gadget, and you know, you control it with an iOS device, and it controls. That's the thing that impressed me the most about it is the way they've got the navigation set. It's obviously using the compass in your device, because you can turn, and the orientation of how you control the BB-8 remains correct, which is crazy.
Yeah, it really. Everything about it is fantastic, and the fact that they're able to build so much personality and life into the device is crazy to me, that they are able to manage it. I have no idea how they did it. it is really one of those things. It is like a marvel of technology. I love the BB-8, and I bought it as soon as it came out, so months ago, and I still turn it on relatively frequently and just drive that thing around. Like, if I'm struggling with something, I'm trying to think for a problem or something, I'll just pick up the BB-8, put him down, drive him around for a while, and it just helps me kind of think through some stuff. I really, really love that thing.
My cat and dog don't know quite what to make of him.
I'm not surprised.
Amuses me, and I'm gonna write a piece about this later, maybe even later today. It's programmable. There's an app on iOS that will let you program it. And it's in very much in the metaphor that they teach a lot of kids basic ideas about programming, like Scratch. I think that's pretty cool. So I showed that to my son, and I'm hoping that we'll spend some time doing some programming of BB-8 too.
Yeah, the app is called Tickle, if you're looking to find it. I'll put a link in the show notes to it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. James Thompson turned me on to that. So my Gadget of the Year nomination is something that I've mentioned on...
Clockwise.
I mentioned it on Clockwise on the last episode of the year of Clockwise. It's the Breville One Touch Tea Maker. I drink a lot of tea. My wife and I both are tea drinkers. We're not coffee drinkers. And the Breville One Touch Tea Maker is a gadget that I have been looking at. It's been in my Amazon cart for years. And I finally bought one this year. It's not cheap, but it is a kettle that's got a basket attachment. And you can basically put water in and loose tea in the basket and set it to go in the morning and then go to bed. And then you wake up and your tea is ready, which is pretty awesome, I have to say. And it boils the water, drops the tea in, lets it steep, lifts the tea back out, and then keeps it warm. And it is a gadget. Definitely. Yep. I can make tea the old-fashioned way with just a kettle and a teapot and a strainer. I can do that. But I kind of love this gadget. So I finally bought it. And then the big surprise on Clockwise was that as a thank you for his support of Six Colors this year, Dan Morin and I both were the ones who were obsessed with this gadget. I bought him this gadget as his holiday thank you for Six Colors and told him about it on the podcast.
That was a great podcasting moment.
That was a fun little moment. So that's my choice for best non-Apple gadget. It's a pretty gadgety gadget, but I love it. What did our panel say, Mike?
Brianna went with the new 3DS, and so did Federico. I think that the new 3DS is really awesome. I'm a big fan of that. Aline went with something called the Sugar Cube, which I had to look up. It's a wireless speaker that works with Spotify, which looks pretty cool, and it has some nice kind of gestures that are built into it to help you control your music. Casey went with the Amazon Fire TV Stick, and Matt went with the Raspberry Pi Zero, which I would not have expected, but that was what he went with. So I'm struggling with this one because I know that BB-8 appears a little bit later on in our suggestions here. If I was going to go with a second choice, mine would be the new 3DS.
Let's see. I
know that you're not going to go with that because you probably have never even tried one.
No, and I'm a 3DS. I'm a Nintendo DS skeptic too. I'm one of those people.
Don't be skeptical about it. It's the second best selling games console of all time. So,
yep. Whatever, whatever, dude. It's dumb. The Fire TV Stick is actually a good thing. That was my Secret Santa on that last episode of Clockwise too. I don't know. I'm fine with the BB-8. We should give it to the BB-8.
Let's
feel like
the
that's
BB-8.
the right choice.
BB-8 is the winner, definitely.
Yep.
Good choice. So now we're going to go with the worst gadget or most disappointing technology of the year. I'm going to take this in a slightly different direction by picking one of my favorite things of this year.
Interesting move.
Yep. It's the Logitech MX Master Mouse. This was the mouse that I spoke about across every single show that I'm a part of for like 2 weeks. It is absolutely fantastic. My disappointment lies in what it did to my hand. I think the MX Master is completely at fault for giving me some pretty severe RSI issues this year. And that was really my own doing. The mouse has some buttons that you can program, and I kind of overprogrammed them to do a bunch of crazy things, and I was contorting and twisting my hand into stupid positions. So I really shouldn't have set it up the way that I did, and it was my own fault. I started to feel the pain but continued to go with it anyway because I loved it so much. So I'm mainly just disappointed that I cannot use it. I'm hoping in 2016 that I'll be able to bring it back into my rotation because the problems that I was having have pretty much all cleared up, and just be a little bit more sensible about how I program the buttons on the MX Master mouse. But it really is fantastic, but they're very disappointing to me because I broke myself.
So my vote is very specific. So I have been a longtime fan of small laptops and a MacBook Air user since the beginning. I have an 11-inch MacBook Air, and I love it. I've always wanted a Retina MacBook Air. And this year, Apple gave us the MacBook, or you could call it the MacBook One, which Marco does. It's actually not a bad name. They could totally have called it that. And it's small and thin and light and has good battery life and has a beautiful Retina screen. It's got the crazy new trackpad that doesn't actually move, but it vibrates to make it feel like it moves. All good. And then it's got a keyboard with very little travel And there are people who will defend that keyboard, and bless them. It, you know, everybody is different. Everybody's preferences are different. But for me, the most disappointing thing in technology this year, in terms of products, was the keyboard on the MacBook One, because that's the thing that basically made me say, I can't use this product. It's everything else about it I like, and I don't like the keyboard. I think it's a bad keyboard. I think I don't know. The lack of travel, the way it feels, it just, you can type on it, but it's unpleasant. And in the end, for me, I just looked at that and said, I'm not going to buy this computer. I can't buy this computer. You know, Apple, it's not the single port. You know, none of the other things about it are deal breakers for me, but the keyboard is. And that made me disappointed. So the MacBook One keyboard is my disappointment of the year.
Both Brianna and Aline went with Apple Music. Yep. Casey went with the Apple Watch.
Even though he likes his.
Which I don't understand.
Interesting.
Matt went with the Tile, which is this little device that helps you find things. I assume Matt lost something after using the Tile. David Sparks went with the Coin, which was that Kickstarter credit card thing. It took him so long to deliver that when it finally showed up, it wouldn't work with his new chip-based cards.
Yeah.
And Federica went with the Withings home camera.
Huh.
What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I think mine, because because that's me.
So this is the thing. I know why people are upset about Apple Music. I can see that. But for me, I've really enjoyed using it. I mean, it's
me too.
Fine. I have no problem with it. I know that a lot of people have, but I can't give Apple Music the most disappointing or worst thing of the year, because it hasn't been for me. I've actually really liked
me too.
It.
Me too.
So, I mean, I don't really have skin in the game of the MacBook One keyboard, because I know I could use it fine, because I am more than happy using the one on the smart cover of the iPad Pro.
I kind of like that one better than the MacBook One, maybe because of my diminished expectations. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I think you know what you're getting, right? This is a case rather than a laptop. And I know people that use the MacBook One keyboard. Like, Brianna's a big fan of the whole device, even though I think something broke on her keyboard. So let's go with the MacBook One keyboard.
Okay, there it is. That's right. Even the staunchest defender of the MacBook One keyboard had problems with the keyboard. So, yeah. And I'll point out also that when Apple came out with its new external Magic keyboard, it isn't using that keyboard design. It's using a different keyboard design.
Yeah, they made some compromises. They made some compromises for the device.
They did. Yeah, I like everything else about that product, just not that.
Our favorite tech story of the year, suggested by @OzTamir, is sponsored by Text Expander from Smile. If you ever type the same sentences, phrases, or even words on a regular basis, then Text Expander is for you. It is an app that you need, because it's going to save you time and effort by expanding short abbreviations into frequently used text and even pictures. Now, I want to do something a little bit different this time. I'm going to open my Text Expander preferences right now, Jason, because I want to find out just how much time Text Expander has saved me over the years. So I have used Text Expander. I have expanded 9,266 abbreviations. It saved me 277,679 characters and 15.43 hours over my time of using Text Expander. It's a lot of time.
It is.
Not only will Text Expander save you those 15 hours that like it saved me, and many, many more, it's also an app that will help improve your communication. You can make sure that you're standardizing stuff. If you send out emails that you want to be the same to people, right, for consistency, maybe you do something like what I do. And, you know, I send lots of different things out to different people, and I want to make sure that when I'm sending certain pieces of information to people, that it's presented to them in a certain way. So it makes everything nice and clean and clear, especially with the amount of spelling mistakes that I make just in my general communication. You can use Text Expander to program all of this stuff, and you can even customize these stock entries by adding fill-in fields as well. So you can, you know, put people's names in there, you can put in the applicable information for them. I really love all of that stuff. Talking about spelling mistakes, I have some things that I frequently misspell. I have them in Text Expander, so they get changed automatically for me. Even things like You know, when you get like some company names or brand names that have capital letters in the middle of the words, right? Like camel cases, yep. stuff like that. I have things like that with, I have them change over in Text Expander for me too. You can sync all of your snippets among your devices by storing them in iCloud Drive or Dropbox. You can access them everywhere, and you can use their iOS custom keyboard that comes with Text Expander for iOS to use your snippets in any app. But many apps integrate them. Apps like OmniOutliner, OmniFocus, Launch Center Pro, and many, many more. Text Expander 5, which comes with a new look and feel, costs $44.95 US. Upgrades are available for $19.95 for existing users, and it's free to those who purchase Text Expander on or after January the 1st, 2015. You can find out more about Text Expander 5 by visiting smilesoftware.com/upgrade. Please note, Text Expander 5 requires Yosemite and is ready for El Capitan, and Text Expander for iOS is available in the App Store for iPhone and iPad. Thank you so much to Smile for their continued support of this show and for sponsoring the favorite tech story of the year in the 2015 Upgradey Awards. My pick for my favorite tech story this year is Jack Dorsey returning to Twitter. It was one of my favorite things that me and you have spoken about over the year as well. It was just a really interesting story, right? Like, it mirrored the Steve Jobs story a little bit. And, you know, we all love Twitter and hope that they're going to take it somewhere and kind of really kickstart the app again and the service, right? And really kind of take it in new directions. So for me, Dorsey returning to Twitter was a really nice story. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, we did talk about that a lot, and I think that's an interesting story, and we'll see how it plays out. Twitter is doing some things, but they like did their moments thing, which seems nobody seems to like, and I've always meant to write about it, and I never did because I feel like sometimes Twitter's not trying to reach people like us who are more technical and more critical. At the same time, I look at what the moments feature is and think it's a missed opportunity that they did the right. They were in the right direction with the wrong thing. And so it remains to be seen whether they're actually going to be able to execute. I feel like they may be a little more aware of what their opportunities are, but I'm not sure that they're actually executing properly. So we'll see. But it was an interesting story, and I feel like that was a rudderless company that maybe has a rudder. Now they just need to just move the boat in the right direction. My vote is going to be Federico Vitici's iPad Pro review, which... You know, that guy, he has been writing about the iPad an awful lot and using the iPad an awful lot. And for him to get not just to write his usual in-depth, voluminous, impressive review, but to have it be an embargoed review because he got on Apple's embargo list for the first time, that was a little extra bonus. But I thought that was a really great review and a perspective that I really wanted to see and was looking forward to seeing about that product.
Brianna went with the Ashley Madison scenario. That was a very entertaining story to read about. I actually quite enjoyed reading about some of the crazy stuff that was happening after all that information got leaked.
So many layers of terribleness in that story.
Yeah, so it made it like great popcorn, right? Like, Aline went with Taylor Swift demanding to be paid for Apple Music streaming. That's a great story. Matt went with Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos' competition for space. And John Siracusa obviously picked the Swift open source project. So I am torn on this one after looking at this. I love my story, but I don't think it's the best. I think that the Taylor Swift scenario was really good. It was actually a very interesting multi-layered story that, you know, kind of really showed a difference in the music entertainment world and the world that Apple was going into. But my heart really paused for Federico getting the iPad because it meant a lot to him, and it meant a lot to me because it meant a lot to him. I kind of guess my feeling is between those two, because I didn't think of either of those when thinking of my option.
I think we're gonna just go with the home field pick and pick Federico's review.
Yeah, that was something that he deserved so much, and I'm so pleased that he got it.
He gets an upgrade, yay, his lifelong dream. You meant the iPad Pro embargo. Well, that too. Matt, by the way, suggested perhaps that Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos were competing over which one of their rockets was bigger.
Mm-hmm. I edited Matt, as I do so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's required.
Favorite tech screw-up of the year. Mine was the BlackBerry CEO attempting to demo the Priv. Have you seen that video?
Oh, yeah. He's completely unprepared.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stupendous. You just go and watch the video. I won't spoil it. You have to see it. What was yours?
The Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL, and they changed the rules this year so that the Surface was available on the sidelines. It used to be only up in the booth, no technology on the sidelines. They would actually print out pictures. It was legal to take pictures of what happened on the field and print them out and show those to players, but they couldn't like watch video or anything on the sidelines. And they changed the rules this year, I think actually during the season, to allow technology to be on the field of these specific things. They don't want it to be like a whole technology war. They want everybody's technology to be the same, but they wanted to do this. So the NFL puts the official tablet of the NFL, the Microsoft Surface, on the sideline, which has led to some hilarious instances of angry athletes, mostly quarterbacks, chucking the tablet while the TV cameras are on. It's happened more than once, but my favorite one, I think the definitive one, is when Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, former Cal Bear, woo, go Bears, chucked his Surface and basically wrecked it because he was mad because he threw an interception. And it's just like, I love that. Great job, Microsoft. Lots of famous athletes are now destroying your product. Way to go.
I just watched the video. I'd never seen it. And that is so funny. He's just like, get this thing away from me.
He is disgusted by his Surface. Because he's watching a receiver that is open. And he blew it and he didn't throw to them and they didn't get the touchdown. But still, it's I have some questions about that whole thing. Like it's the official tablet, so everybody's forced to use it. You know, even if they use iPads or something else elsewhere, they've got to use that, anything that's visible. And then what you get is the visibility of people demolishing it. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
Brianna picked Apple Music for our favorite text grew up. Aline went with Jimmy Iovine, saying that women needed help finding music, which was like this ad that they created, which is just real foot in the mouth type stuff. We have Casey pick the Mac App Store certificate problem. Matt chose
That's a good one.
Yeah, another good one is Matt chose the Time Magazine VR cover, where they picked that crazy photo of the guy on the beach. And David Sparks went with Apple Music as well and added that after a pretty good job with photos, how did they screw up music for so many users? I don't know where to go with this one.
Yeah,
don't know where to go with this one. Because again, see, even though I like music, I can say how it was screwed up for a lot of people.
Yeah, I feel like the Mac App Store is a great one. I think maybe coming in from the side there, Casey Liss's nomination should be the winner, because that's a really good one. That was a screw up. That's the best kind of screw up, because it's a screw up that leads to a bigger story, right? Yeah. It's a screw up that reinforces suspicions about a product or service not being given attention, and it makes it clear that that's the case. It's sort of like, no, we care about it. We really care about it. And then the screw up happens and you're like, aha, see, proof that you don't care about it. And that's, we've all been feeling like the Mac App Store is kind of, you know, just rotting, I think John Gruber said. And this was a perfect example of that, where they just, you know, they screwed it up. They blew it. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes, but this felt like a colossal mistake that was made because there was nobody minding the store. Literally.
So I'm happy with that. Mac App Store certificates as our favorite tech screw up of 2015. Yep. Now we're going to the favorite non-tech podcast of the year, suggested by Nodotis. This was last year, and they also said Dan. Not Serial.
Not Serial, yeah.
Now, this one last year was the one of the biggest contention for me and you.
Indeed.
This was, I chose Hello Internet, and you chose the Flophouse. And right. I don't know if we chose a winner, but if we did, it was purely because just why not? And we both pledged to go away and listen to each other's shows, which Indeed. Has brought me to now say that my favorite non-tech podcast of the year is The Flophouse. I love The Flophouse so much.
Woo! I'm raising my hands in victory here.
There was no way I couldn't pick it. It's easily my favorite. I think it may just be my favorite podcast flat out now. And I just, I absolutely love that show so much. It's one of those shows I listen to one episode, like a new episode that comes out, then I go and listen to an old one because I just can't just have one. And I haven't gone through the whole back catalog yet, but I'm kind of just, I'm still in the picking out old episodes phase, but I absolutely love The Flophouse.
So now the perfect O. Henry ending here would be that I have now listened to Hello Internet and made it my vote. And I have listened to Hello Internet and I like it. It's a good podcast, but my vote is still The Flophouse. So now we're unanimous.
So should we go to our other suggestions anyway, even though I think it's pretty clear what we're going to give the
I think the unanimous Flophouse, and I think I'm pretty sure even though he didn't vote here that John Siracusa would agree with us. He was actually, he had his letter read on the latest version, not the first time that he's had a letter read on the Flophouse. So Aline and Casey both picked Reconcilable Differences.
I have that in a later pick. Yeah.
Matt picked Roderick on the Line.
Always a good pick.
And David Sparks picked Rebel Force Radio, which I assume is a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he's actually rebelling against anything other than the Empire. Yeah, it's a Star Wars podcast.
So we're going to go with The Flophouse because...
Flophouse.
Just because.
Yeah.
Favorite tech podcast of the year, suggested by Gary. I'm going to continue my pick from last year and go with ATP again. Flat out just is my favorite tech podcast. You go with the same?
I agree. That is the one that I make a point of listening to every week that I'm not on. And I will put a second place mention in for Cortex, podcast that you do with CGP Grey, which is, you know, what is it? What is it about? It's about lots of things, but it does feel like it does feel techie enough for me to call it that. But I feel like it's not just a, you know, what we think of as a tech podcast. It's about some other things, but I want to throw it in there. I don't listen to every episode because I have too many podcasts and I don't commute anymore, but it's definitely one of my priorities.
Yeah, Cortex isn't necessarily a technology podcast, but what it is me and Gray mainly talking about how we work, and we both work in technology, so kind of becomes that. Federico agrees with your second place pick. He's gone for Cortex. Aline agrees with both me and you and have picked ATP. Casey would like to pick ATP, but went with Upgrade instead.
Solid move. That is a grandmaster chess move there, Casey List. Good job.
David chose The Incomparable because I don't think he knows what technology is. And Matt went with... I love you, David. And Matt went with The Talk Show.
Yeah. All good choices.
But ATP wins again. It's second year in a row.
It's still there for me.
Congratulations.
I'm behind, though.
ATP
I'm like
guys.
A couple episodes behind now. It's painful.
One of the shows that I never go behind on because I love it so much.
I tried, but I had a couple weeks where I just didn't listen to podcasts and it was a problem. So I got to get caught up.
Our favorite podcast newcomer of the year. I have picked Reconcilable Differences for this. I know that it is a show on our network. I also am part of the show. I edit the show, right? So I have a stake in it. But I love Reconcilable Differences. I'm so happy that it exists. I'm extra happy that it gets to call Relay FM its home. John and Merlin together, it's like one of those like matches made in heaven. It was like a one-two pairing type scenario, I think, for many people. Absolutely love that show. Couldn't speak highly enough of it.
Well, you hear the concept and you think, oh, that's going to be good. But then it actually is good. Like, it actually is good. It is a good podcast and enjoyable. And those guys combining the ways that they do are fascinating. It was my runner-up pick. I'm happy for it to be the winner here. Actually, the one that I've liked the most, and this, again, picking something that's on your own network, I've really enjoyed... So Lisa Schmeiser, Tony Sindelar, and Philip Mozeliak do a recap of The Flash, the TV series on the Incomparable Network and the TV feed called The Flash Flashcast. I really enjoy it They have amusing, I like how it's structured. It's fun to have a podcast on your network that you have nothing to do with, and you listen to it and you think, oh, this is really good. They have some good ideas here. They've done things I should steal for the things that I do, because I love that. And I like that show, The Flash, and I like that they have their different categories, and they have the My Three Dads, and I'm Not a Scientist, but, and things like that. And they're all very different and funny personalities too. So that was a real find for me that, on my own network, but Rectifs is that should be the winner. That's totally should be the winner.
Our other suggestions: Aline chose a show called DesignLife.fm. Casey went with Reconcilable Differences, and also a show called Built in Motion. Matt went for Defocused because it's new to the incomparable. Which is a good way of squeezing that one in there.
Yep.
And Federico chose Cortex again. Thank you, Federico. But we will go Reconcilable Differences, and we'll also pull in the votes from Aline and Casey from the favorite non-tech podcast to crown Reconcilable Differences, the upgradey winner for the best podcast newcomer of this year. We have a couple of new categories to round out today's upgradies. The first one comes from Dan again, who picked the favorite non-tech podcast last year. And it is our best holiday gift.
And it's unclear whether this is the best gift that we gave or receive, or just a thing that would be a good holiday gift.
Yeah,
so,
I went with my favorite holiday gift, which is a selection of gifts. I got some cocktail making tools from my family and from my girlfriend this year. I enjoy making cocktails for myself, and I want to start making cocktails for other people as well. It's just something that I like. I have, you know, maybe one or so a week.
You took that class?
I took a class, yes. I took a class, and that was where it all started. That was a birthday gift, and so I took a class in cocktail making, and now I have the tools to make good cocktails.
It's nice. Well, the best holiday gift I think we got this year was the BB-8. There's no doubt about it. I will put a shout out to, I think, a good gift that I've recommended to people in the past for the last couple of years. For $69, you get a year subscription to Marvel Unlimited if you're a comic book reader and like Marvel comics. It's a great deal because comic books are kind of expensive. And with Marvel Unlimited, you're not getting the latest issues, but they're about 6 months delayed. But it's this huge catalog of tens of thousands of old comics and recent comics. And in one reading binge, I can read $69 worth of comics. So it's totally worth it because it means that I don't buy old Marvel comics. I buy some new ones, but I don't buy the old ones because they're all on Marvel Unlimited. And it has been, I think I've been a subscriber since the very beginning with that one. And it's great. Or since it came to the iPad, I guess. And I really like it. And on iPad Pro, a comic reading is even more awesome. So I think that's a recommendation just to throw out there as a gift for people anytime.
Aline chose the BB-8.
BB-8, yeah.
Casey went with the iPad Mini 4, which was his favorite gift. And he also got a Foot Cardigan subscription for Erin, his wife, who loved that.
Keep watching the socks.
Matt chose Mojave slippers. I have no idea. Who knows?
It's Matt.
Who knows?
Whatever.
And Federico chose Beats. I love Federico, man. He loves Beats. He owns Beats. I'm happy that he loves them. He should, because they seem cool. I got some cool Sennheiser Bluetooth headphones this year, which I'm very happy with. I'm going to make an unprecedented suggestion here.
Yes.
That we give BB-8 the winner of this category as well.
Yeah, sure.
That would make it the first time this has ever happened that one thing has won two upgradies. I mean, it wouldn't be difficult because this is the second time it's happened. But nevertheless, I think that it is the best little gift that you could get someone this year. And
I agree.
It was your favorite holiday gift as well.
We got two BB-8s because Jamie got a BB-8 pillow.
Oh, BB-8 is it, right? BB-8 is the winner of everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
And our last upgrade this year, suggested by Todd, is for the hardware that has changed our lives the most this year. This is a really... The winner of this category is obvious, having looked at the document. And it's very, very interesting. I want to start this time by reading the suggestions from our illustrious panel. Brianna went with the Apple Watch, so did Matt, and Casey, who also said that it was his most disappointing technology. So I'm not 100% sure of Casey right now.
I can see that. I almost said that Apple Watch was both my favorite gadget and the most disappointing because my expectations were high. And I feel like it's still got a lot more it needs to do.
Yeah, I bet that's exactly where Casey's coming from as well. That makes sense.
I support Casey in this, that I think it is a complicated product that has a lot of things that I love about it and a lot of things that I'm disappointed that it doesn't do.
And then we have from Federico, Aline, and Steven, along with me and you, the iPad Pro.
Yeah, I have the Apple Watch as my runner-up because it has changed my life. It's gotten me to be more active. I think that's the biggest way that it's changed my life. But the iPad Pro, buying it, you know, I'm using it more, and basically my MacBook Air never gets used now. And I love that product, and I'm surprised that I love it as much as I do, and it's pretty great. So that I'm with Aline, Steven, and Federico, and you on that one.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love my iPad Pro. I really, really do. It is the device that I want to use the most. It is an absolutely fantastic product. I didn't think I was going to love it as much as I do. Apple have stumbled, in my opinion, into a winner. I don't know if anybody expected it to be as good as it is. And looking at, you know, the shipping stuff that they've still got on other accessories, I don't think Apple did either. pencils are still 4 to 5 weeks. So yeah, it is a fantastic product. When paired with the keyboard and the pencil, it's changed my game completely.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of the upgrades, Jason.
That's it?
That is it. Well, it's been a fantastic upgrades. I'm very happy that we had the help and suggestions from our illustrious panel. So thank you so
absolutely
much to them for helping us out today. Thank you so much to everyone that suggested categories last year and this year. I'm already very excited for the 2016 upgrades.
Do you ever stop being excited about the upgrades?
No, it's easily one of my favorite podcasts that I do in the year. It's this one episode of this show. I love giving awards to things. And you mentioned the Eddies earlier. It is so important to me that one day people recognize the upgrades as they did the Eddies. Like last time, and I'm going to do this again, we've had artwork made of his little badges made. I'm going to send them out to all the winners. All I want is just to see them appear somewhere, you know, that they put someone wears it as a badge of honor on their website. One day we'll get there, Jason.
One day. Well, I know that since there's a Relay FM podcast that won an upgrade, perhaps.
Yes.
You could just stick that on the Rectifs page and see if anybody notices.
If John and Merlin are happy for me to do it, then it will be added.
Better to beg forgiveness than ask permission, I say.
We now have our first award-winning show on Relay FM.
Yeah, at long last. It feels good, doesn't it?
It does. It feels great. It's absolutely great.
They
I wish
never
it was
take
me.
That away from you.
I wish I won an award, even if it was an upgrade-y. Can I win the upgrade-y for the best British upgrade host?
Yeah. No. Maybe
on
next
that,
year.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to our sponsors, Hover and Smile, for making the upgrades of 2015 possible. We'll be back next week with a regular episode of Upgrade. Have a fantastic new year, and we'll see you again in 2016. Until then, say goodbye, Jason Snell.
Happy New Year to everybody, including you, Mike. Happy New Year.
And to you, Jason.